Welcome to this week's edition of the St. Paul Podcast. I'm Peter Marty, Senior Pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church, located in the heart of Davenport, Iowa. Right here each week, you can hear a message to inspire your walk with God and hear beautiful music to fill your life. Let this podcast be your occasion to contemplate some of the deepest things in life, just as I hope it helps faith come alive for you.
I'm Pastor Mac Mullins, and I'm so glad you found this podcast today, whether by happenstance or because you're a regular listener. I hope this music and these words bring you a moment of peace and meditation in your life, and maybe even the Spirit will catch you by surprise. It's no fun to be excluded from things, is it? I remember that trepidation of lining up to pick teams for dodgeball in gym class. Not me or any other kid wanted to be picked last, or worse, not picked at all. Often enough, that exclusion isn't even our fault. We can't watch every game that Caitlin Clark plays in. Our responsibilities and commitments keep us from joining in the conversations on Monday mornings with coworkers and friends. Our attention is constantly being pulled in one direction or another that we miss little things, too. Our children playing and imagining, the zip of a hummingbird past the window, even sometimes our own life. One minute we're 30 and getting married, and then the next our bodies are refusing to cooperate in the ways that they used to. When we finally do notice all of the things we've missed, often after the fact, fear slinks into our lives and brings our moods and our outlooks down with it. Our story from the Gospel of John today tells us how Thomas goes through this exact same experience. Thomas isn't in the room when Jesus appears to the disciples, and he becomes afraid that he's missed the one opportunity he had. Jesus, however, doesn't leave Thomas behind. And as we'll hear, Jesus promises us that he'll also always be present in our lives. Listen now to these words from the Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, Jesus' disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now that we've heard these words from Jesus, listen to these thoughts on this story and this promise. Well, here we are with a story from the Bible that those of us who gather each week, we faithful people, we've heard it many times. The story of Jesus' first appearance to the disciples and to Thomas comes around every year. It's always that Sunday after Easter. We've even got a catchy phrase for this story, the story of Doubting Thomas. How would you like that for a nickname for the rest of your life? Poor Doubting Thomas. And I wonder if we aren't being a little harsh on Thomas. Isn't he just asking for something that we'd all be asking for if we were in his shoes? If we go back just a few verses before our reading this morning, Mary Magdalene goes off to the tomb on a Sunday morning. She goes to mourn or to grieve, maybe by the prompting of the Spirit. Whatever her reasons, she discovers that the tomb is empty. So she runs back into the city and tells the disciples. But they don't believe her, so they run all the way back to the tomb, Peter and the beloved disciple right in the lead, so that they can see for themselves. Well, that sounds a little familiar. The disciples need to see for themselves. Mary's word alone, it's not enough for them. These three people didn't see what happened to their friend, to the body of their mentor, the Messiah. They're gripped with a fear that they've missed something terribly important. So, Jesus shows up. First, he appears to Mary Magdalene, and then again at the beginning of this morning's reading. He appears to all the disciples as they've gathered together behind these closed doors to avoid the religious authorities. He shows them his wounds and fills them with peace and the Spirit. It's a deeply personal and intimate encounter where the disciples finally begin to have an understanding of all of these teachings Jesus has said, that he must die and then be raised on the third day. I can only imagine the disciples' reaction. Was it fear, joy, confusion? It's not every day a man you thought was dead shows up at your front door. Whatever the case, the disciples knew that their lives were changed forever. Except, of course, Thomas. Thomas wasn't there. Maybe he had a dentist appointment. I don't know. Whatever his good reasons were, Thomas wasn't around the moment Jesus appeared. And just like Peter and the beloved disciple, he doesn't take it on word alone when he's told that Jesus showed up. And so, he says his infamous line, "Unless
I stick my fingers in the holes of his hands and touch the gash on his side. I will not believe. It's a little gruesome, maybe, but Thomas is adamant in his need to see Jesus. Thomas's bad reputation as a doubter of Jesus and a doubter of the resurrection is soaked in our assumptions of who he is. But what if we're wrong about Thomas? What if we focus too much on his refusal to believe and not enough on the fact that he's just asking for a fair shake? Isn't Thomas only asking to get exactly what the disciples got? A few moments to see and touch this person he loved, his friend? What if we've been reading this story wrong the whole time? Instead of saying, I will not believe that Jesus is alive, Thomas is saying, I refuse to believe that Jesus doesn't want to see me too. I wonder if that's not a bit fairer to poor old Thomas. Not so sure that Thomas is a downer. Sounds like he has more of a case of FOMO. If you need to brush up on your Gen Z lingo, FOMO means the fear of missing out. It's a fear that Thomas has missed the only opportunity he'll ever get to see his rabbi again. A fear that his scheduling conflict might have cost him an encounter with the resurrection. A fear that because he missed the party, he's no longer somehow part of this group of disciples who have just received the Holy Spirit. Something incredibly special, something powerfully new has happened in the life of the world. Thomas doesn't doubt it happened. He's just afraid that he's been excluded from it. That is some serious FOMO. Fear can so easily and so quickly encircle us and fill us up, can it? The fear of missing out, in particular, has this powerful way of latching onto our brains and onto our hearts. Whether you call it FOMO or keeping up with the Joneses, the fear inside of us is the same. That we too have missed some kind of experience, some connection with a person we love, or some joy that comes from participating in a group of our friends. Either because we weren't in the right time at the right place, because we don't have the means to do what others can, or because deep down this fear tells us that there's a defect in us, that we somehow don't measure up, and we aren't quite good enough. When we walk into a place like St. Paul, that fear of missing out can come all too quickly, can it? This is a place of abundant hospitality. No one leaves here without a donut in hand and a cup of caffeine if they don't want to. This is a place where I see deep, genuine faith being lived out every day. And this place can be overwhelming. Some of you have shared your stories with me of how you've only recently come to your faith. And when you have conversations and classes or you go to Bible studies with other folks who have been doing this their entire lives, there's this sense you have to catch up to be a part of the group. For others, your schedules, whether work or family or other important commitments, those schedules keep you from participating and some of the good ministries we do that in any other circumstance would give you spiritual life and nourishment. I hear all too often from our folks that can't come on a Sunday morning that they just want to be here with us, to sit and praise and worship the Lord. There are things that are just outside of our control, whether the timing of our faith or the timing of our health. These things keep us from living fully together as followers of Jesus. It hurts, but it's not our fault. It creates this deep longing within us that we'd even venture to call a little bit of fear. Maybe just like Thomas, each of us has our own version of Easter FOMO. whether it's growing in faith, being present in this community, finding moments of sharing goodness with the world in the midst of all of life's obligations. I think each of us deeply desires to see, touch, and hear the voice of the risen Jesus. We want to know that we're deeply included in this moment of wholeness and joy too. Well, Thomas does get to see Jesus, doesn't he? Jesus makes him sweat a week, but Jesus gives Thomas not only what everyone else got, but exactly what Thomas asks for. Jesus appears to Thomas and confirms for him that he too is just as loved and just as deserving of encountering Jesus as the rest of the disciples. And then Jesus speaks to us. He declares that those who believe without seeing the marks on his hands and the gash on his side, those people are blessed too. It's not some veiled criticism at Thomas or the disciples. It's a promise for us. We weren't at the resurrection. We missed out because of the circumstances of our birth, our nationality, and our religion. We're 2,000 years too late and a whole hemisphere away from that secluded room. And yet, Jesus promises us that those things don't change anything. Jesus promises that whether you've been faithful with him for 60 years or for 6 months, you will meet and you will know him. Jesus promises that when sickness and illness strip your body of its ability to give you the life you desire or even need, you will meet and know him. The same Jesus that the disciples knew and loved and lived with, he makes us a promise today that we aren't excluded either. We are and will be just as blessed as the disciples in the presence of the divine throughout our lives. The risen Jesus shows up for us in nurses, our doctors, our own family, who take time set aside of their own desires to meet our needs. This Jesus shows up in the face of the hungry who are seeking food and nourishment, whether a plate of spaghetti for the evening or a bag of groceries for the month. Jesus shows up for the lonely in the encounter of new people, acquaintances that discover they have shared passions that blossom into beautiful friendships. Part of the reason I think we're all here for an hour each week when we could just as easily be at home doing the crossword is because we're looking for Jesus. We come to this place so that we can learn to pay attention to all of the other places Jesus does make himself known. There are so many things that can distract us from this promise. But it's this time together. It's our moment to refocus our attention to the love that God is pouring out for us in each of these encounters. It's easy to forget. It's only been a week since the crucifixion. That little voice in the back of our heads can totally convince us that there's no way that we're going to measure up to the people around us, that somehow we've missed the boat that everyone else showed up on time for. But this promise of blessing from Jesus tells us that even if you were sick on Easter morning and couldn't be here in this room with these disciples, just like Thomas, you don't have to have FOMO anymore. Jesus has shown up for you, and he will keep showing up all throughout our lives, in a piece of bread and a touch of wine, in little ways and in small ways. The promise of Easter doesn't come for us only one day a year. Jesus promises to be a part of our life, each and every moment of it. Amen.
your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be.
Now let's say together the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And now a blessing for you. May the God of peace and wholeness, who raised Jesus from the dead, be present in your life, in big ways and in small, constantly drawing your attention to all of the ways Jesus shows up. And may God bless your comings and goings, and bring you an abundance of life. Amen.
I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. and thanks for your support of the ministries of St. Paul Lutheran Church. Our commitment to projects that lend hope to other people stretches across the country and around the world. We hope that in a good way you feel a part of that reach. Tune in next Thursday for another edition of the St. Paul Podcast.